We're looking at art outside the museums of Europe today on Travel with Rick Steves. Tell us what kind of art has impressed you on the streets of Europe. We're at 877-333-RICK. Or by email, it's radio@ricksteves.com. And later in the hour, Robert Edsel brings us more stories of the heroic work of the Monuments Men, people who saved Europe's art treasures from the Nazis. In the late 19th century in France, the cry of the artist was out of the studio and into the light. Well, today, we're going out of the museum and into the light. We're checking out Europe's great art outside of the museums. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm joined by my favorite art historian, the man who's helped me do a lot of teaching in art. We've co-authored a book called Europe 101, Gene Openshaw. Gene, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks.
Many tourists, when they go to Europe, it's just sort of understood they're going to go to the museums. They're going to see 50 Titians hanging on the wall. Well, that's one way to see the art, but what would you advise?
Well, I'd say good for them for going to the museums. That's one of the great things that Europe has to offer. But there's also a better way to see art, and that is to get outside the museums. You've got to realize that art is not just the piece of art itself, but the setting and the experience that you have. It's when you enter the equation that the art experience really happens.
Well, that opens it up. I mean, if you're limiting yourself to looking at something on a wall out of context, you're looking at a beautiful canvas. You see the great painting in the church, paid for by a church with lots of money, with an agenda, and they want you to see it this way. And they hired the greatest talent of the time to portray, you know, Jesus suffering on the cross or whatever. And you've also got the historic context. I feel like art is sort of the closest thing to a time tunnel experience you can get in your travels, even if you're not into beauty. If you can let the art take you back to that time, that heady time in Florence when Savonarola had just derailed the Medici and all of this exciting humanism of the Renaissance and brought back in a theocracy, now you understand the context of that fresco that's at the top of the stairway in the monastery from where Savonarola ran Florence for a period.
That's what's so great about Europe is that in many ways, Europe itself is a big museum. When you think about the churches that have great art. You think about castles and palaces that have great art. You think about art in public spaces, neighborhoods that you see that themselves, the buildings are old and the great artists and people have lived there and walked those very same streets. So almost any place you go in Europe, you can have this art experience.
And you have a government which represents a people and their interest in this aspect of their culture that will, at quite great expense, protect the old buildings and the culture. You walk down a street in Europe and you see a facade standing up, held up there by beams and buttresses. It's just saving the facade as a new building is built behind it in order to keep the visual integrity of the street in the old ways. And you go to a new office park and you find in, I think, advanced civilizations all over the world, a certain percent of the cost of the construction is required to be spent in modern art to make it a good people zone.
And that's very important. I hate to even bring this up, but when you raise that thing about renovating things and so on, many of your listeners will have gone to St. Mark's Square, for example. Well, right now they're contemplating a big renovation of St. Mark's Square. And you'd think that this thing that is owned by humanity could be done in a way that would be aesthetically pleasing. But the main proposal they have right now to fund that renovation of St. Mark's Square is instead of putting up some kind of scaffolding, they are actually going to put up billboards,
advertising
to fund it. It is a kind of frightening idea. I remember reading a quote by the mayor of Venice, and he said something like, "It's not beautiful, it's not ugly, it's necessary."
It's like putting paid ads on the cover of the New York Times now. It's just sort of the Economic Times. They got to turn a buck out of that. I remember a decade ago, they were doing a renovation on that same square. And at the bell tower, they had a big building-sized canvas that covered the scaffolding. And on it was the Leaning Tower of Pisa, just to confuse people.
Yeah.
Well, the point is they're investing a lot to update and renovate all the buildings as they deal with the acidic air and so on. Something very important when we're traveling is to see art outside of museums. It just opens it up. It lets you really let the whole artistic experience breathe. One fun thing is to go to places that inspired the artists. If you go to the humble cottage where Edvard Grieg would compose his music on the fjord, you're engulfed in nature, and then you listen to his music, and it makes a little more sense.
Yeah, that's a beautiful place. You know, the classic one, besides Grieg's home, is going up in Paris to Butte Montmartre, the big hill kind of on the outskirts of Paris. That's where so much of the great Impressionist art was built. You know, you can see where Van Gogh lived and Toulouse-Lautrec and so on. You can see the studio where Pablo Picasso lived when he was a young man. This very rugged studio, it's the place that he would paint his girlfriend, Fernand, in the nude from every possible perspective. And then over the course of several months, got this idea of cobbling together those various perspectives of these nudes into a single painting, inventing cubism and revealing La Demoiselle d'Avignon, the groundbreaking painting that came out of this very crude studio when he was a poor artist on Butte Montmartre.
And that gives you a whole different appreciation of cubism, which you're going to see whether you like it or not when you go to all these galleries around Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Butte Montmartre's a wonderful place. And, you know, I can think of another place when you mentioned that about where artists live. This one, I hate to even say it because today it is a museum, but it's the Peggy Guggenheim collection in Venice. It is a museum.
And but it was her villa also.
But it was her home where she lived right on the Grand Canal, this beautiful setting in Venice. It's now filled with her personal collection of modern art. And what's great about it, even if you're not into modern art, is you go into there and you walk into her dining room and you realize the art that's on the wall here was on the same walls when she lived here and was welcoming all of these famous people, you know, John Lennon and Yoko Ono and, you know, you can
Andy
make
Warhol
this home,
would probably
Andy
be
Warhol
coming.
And so on, you know, and it still looks exactly like a home. Yes.
Another example would be the mausoleum of Salvador Dali. You know, he was a great theatric marketer and entertaining artist, a great surrealist, and his tomb is surrounded by all of his greatest art. And it's a celebration of his life, and his body is right there in a casket in the middle of it. And leave it to Salvador Dali to give you that sort of odd juxtaposition of his casket and his goofy art.
Sounds like a surrealist joke. Yeah.
It is a surrealist joke. And nearby is my favorite home of any dead person in Europe. I mean, as tourists, we're always looking at the home of Karl Marx, the home of Beethoven, the Rembrandt, which, by the way, is a great place to go see his studio and see his etchings and so on. But the home of Salvador Dali, you really get his creative spirit there. You get to know his muse, Gala, and you get to know his relationship with the crude fishermen that lived all around him as he took this little humble spot north of Barcelona on the coastline. He told the fishermen, when you're going to paint your boats, when you're cleaning your paintbrushes, do it on my front door. So all of the different colors of the boats are painted just in a way of cleaning the brushes on Dali's front door. All over Europe, you can connect with the art a little bit broader than in the museums. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm joined by Jean Openshaw. And we've got on the line Stephanie from Krakow, Poland. Stephanie, thanks for your call.
Hey.
Are you calling from Krakow right now?
Yes, we are.
Wonderful. Thanks for contributing to our conversation. Do you have any thoughts on enjoying art outside of museums?
My husband and I have found out that to see sculpture, we've enjoyed going to the cemeteries in the cities that we visited.
Tell me an example.
Well, Milan. The monumental cemetery there, the sculpture is beautiful. It's not just the historic and the old, but it's also the contemporary sculpture that adorns all the graves.
I absolutely love that museum. It's my favorite experience, you could argue, in Milano. And it's Art Deco. It's Art Nouveau. It's World War I soldiers. It's great romantic poets. It's called the Monumental Cemetery, isn't it?
Right, right. And then in Paris and Venice and Florence, every time we've gone to a city, we try to search out the cemeteries.
Let's think about this, Jean. You can go to the cemetery for the Protestants in Rome. A lot of expats were in Rome in olden days, and when they died, they couldn't be, I guess they had to be buried not in a Catholic graveyard or something. So they have this place where a lot of the romantic poets, Shelley and Keats, I think, are buried.
John Keats is buried, yeah.
Up by the pyramid in Rome. And Stephanie, you're in Krakow. One of the most powerful cemeteries I've visited is in Krakow, where when the Nazis came in, they literally bulldozed the Jewish cemetery. And today, those broken and crushed and disfigured tombstones are actually sculptures in what remains of the Jewish cemetery.
Right. In Kazimierz, they have made a wall.
Kazimierz or whatever. That's the Jewish district of Krakow.
Right, right.
Yeah, Stephanie mentioned the cemetery that you can visit in Venice, and that particular cemetery, San Michele, is, like everything in Venice, on an island, and you have to take
yes.
a boat there, and that's all
take
that's
a boat
on.
Over.
Yeah, and it's wonderful, and you just walk, and you enter this city of the dead. Most of the people that you wouldn't know, but they often put the photograph of the dead person on there, and you feel like you know these people.
That adds a lot in cultures where they do that. Stephanie, thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Nate is on the phone in Orem, Utah. Nate, thoughts on art outside of museums?
Some of the most interesting art that I've ever seen has been in Vienna, Austria, the Central Friedhof, the Central Cemetery. It was one that was actually commissioned in the 1800s, and it was a failure because people wanted to put their loved ones in their own local cemeteries. Then the idea was come upon, well, let's dig up all the famous people that we know of.
Yeah, Beethoven, Brahms, Schubert, yeah.
They're all dug up and moved to the Central Friedhof? Yeah.
Yes, they were all dug up, moved to the Central Friedhof, and then all the sculptors and artists are in their own groups. The composers are in their own group, and there's just beautiful sculptures on top of the artists. Some of them, they did their own work. When my wife lived in Austria for a couple of years, she learned that the death culture in Austria was really important. And you saved from when you were a little kid in order to get your tombstone.
Wow.
And so there is amazing tombstones and things around.
So the Austrians take a great interest in where their mortal remains will spend the rest of time.
Yes.
I know in Hallstatt, the space is very limited, so you can stay in the cemetery only as long as your descendants will pay the rent on that plot.
and as soon as there's been
three or four generations, I don't care how good a guy you are, they stop paying the rent on you. Then they take you up and they clean you off and they stack your skull in the bone house and make room for other people whose relatives care more to pay the rent on your tombstone.
But after they dug up all the people and put them in the Friedhof, it became really popular, the Central Friedhof.
Okay, so when we go to Vienna, we want to go to the Central Friedhof and see the tombs of, and they sort of jump-started it by putting in Beethoven and Brahms and Mahler and those guys.
And the artist section is actually right next to the composer section.
Okay. All over Europe, we've got people that have a more or less interest of cemeteries. In Paris, there's actually enough interest in the cemeteries to keep a book in print called Permanent Parisians. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're thinking about art for the living and the dead outside of museums. We're at 877-333-7425 and radio at ricksteves.com. That's our email address. And there's more online in the radio section at ricksteves.com.